How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, he is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled?
Hello and welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm glad you tuned into the broadcast again this week. We're going to pick up our study here in John chapter 17, here with the Lord's Prayer, in verse number 12. The Lord has been speaking about his own, and he's been speaking about those are his own that the Father has given unto him, how he's kept them, how he prays for them, and how he is leaving the earth, and how he desires that the Father keep them, and that has been given to the Lord Jesus, and that there might be unity amongst them. And so, we see here in verse 11, and now I'm no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. And so as the Father and the Son are one, I and my Father are one, the Lord Jesus declared to the Pharisees, Sadducees, lawyers, and scribes. So he desires unity amongst his own. And here there's this one church in Jerusalem at this time, and this isn't talking about universal, visible or invisible church doctrine, but this is talking about unity in the Lord's church, okay? And those that have been given to the Lord of the Father that he has called and will call. And then he says this in verse 12, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Now, that was the reason that the Lord went and what he pursued and what he did. It was all in the name of the Father. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, not a one has been lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. I tell you what, this is really a heavy, heavy thing, but it is true. Those that have been given to the Son by the Father, the Son has taken perfect care of them and will and does save and has saved and will save and call each and every one. But Judas was a case where it was ordained of God that Judas would be the betrayer. Now, some people will just fly off and say that's impossible. God's not that way and God can't do such a thing. But it is true. He was appointed unto this. Judas was appointed unto being the betrayer. And the thing is we need to understand that God is God, and he is so much above us and so high above us. May it not be that we try to pull down God down to our level. He is not a man that we can reckon with him, but he does, as Nebuchadnezzar says, he does what he desires to do amongst the inhabitants of heaven and the earth. He is God. And the thing is to see here is to not bewail what it is that the Lord ordained Judas to be party to. Remember how the Lord says that thou doest do quickly. The Lord Jesus, didn't try to save Judas from what he did, but it was so he was appointed unto it. What we need to do is we need to praise God that the Lord hadn't ordained us to such a thing. Praise be to God that he saved me rather than choosing me to such a condemnation. We're in the hands of a great and mighty God. Our God is a consuming fire, yet he's a great God of love that gave his Son. Yet his wrath and his fury against sin is great. And who are we to reply against God? And so here, we read this verse, and in our humanity, it might cause us to ball up and say, it's not fair, it's not right. But we need to see things as God sees things, and we are the created, and he is the creator. And praise God for his mercy. grace and love towards sinners. God was not obliged to do anything for us, but instead he freely pleased to do so, and I praise his holy name for it. While I was with them in the world, I kept them through thy name, and I praise God that he's saved me, and I've been one of the kept, aren't you? Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost. And praise God, none will be lost. It's impossible. It cannot be lost, save but the son of perdition, Judas, that the scripture might be fulfilled. It was prophesied that he would do it, and he did. Verse 13, and now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Isn't it great to be saved? Oh, I pray that you that are under the hearing of my voice, each and every one, is saved from your sins. And you have the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And you rest and trust and rely upon him for the salvation of your soul, the forgiveness of your sins. And one day, somehow, Jesus carrying you on to be with him eternally. Are you saved? Are you resting in him in those things? He says here in verse 13, and now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Don't you have the joy of the Lord? Well, the saved person should. You that are without Christ, you have no joy. Maybe there's circumstantial happiness in this life, but you don't have the joy of the Lord. Oh, but we point you to Christ. Repent and believe and trust in him, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. The Lord working in our lives and the Lord keeping us and helping us and bringing us along. It gives us joy, joy, joy indeed. Verse 14, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them. Yes, it's true, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Jesus was not the idea of the world. Jesus was not the product of the world, but Jesus came from the Father. And so it is with his children, chosen of God and called in time by the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, his resurrection for the salvation of the soul and the granting to that soul of eternal life. Do you believe? Do you believe that for yourself? Are you the sinner that needs saving? Hated by the world, indeed. Why? Because Jesus was hated by the world. And yet, the Lord Jesus was hated without a cause. And so it should be with us, that the world have no justifiable cause to hate us. If they hate us because of our Savior, then so be it. Listen to this. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. The evil. To be kept from the evil. Disobedience and doubt of God. Gainsaying against God's word. Gainsaying against the word of God. Oh, may we not deny what he says. May we believe him. May we, as he says here, so I don't pray that you take them out, but that we would be kept. Kept by the Father, kept by the Father through the power and work of the Lord and of the Spirit, kept from the evil, not taken out of this world. That would be the way we would work, as we would just pluck our own right out of any threat or any danger. But the Lord Jesus leaves his people in the threat and in the danger, in a gainsaying an untoward generation, a twisted and perverse and crooked generation and wicked world. The Lord leaves his own. Why? That they might be a light and a witness of the salvation of the Lord. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Set them apart, okay? Cause them to mature. Cause them to grow. Set them apart through thy truth. That's how the child of God is set apart. That's how his churches are set apart, is by holding to the truth. I mentioned a couple broadcasts ago how the scripture says when Paul dealing with Timothy, he says that the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. And we're set apart by that truth. We're distinct because of that truth. And we herald that truth to a lost and dying world, that sinners might see their wicked condition, that they might see themselves guilty before God. Remember how we saw in chapter 16 of the Holy Spirit work of the Comforter in his church and what he would do? He would reprove the world of sin. He would reprove the world of righteousness. He would reprove the world of judgment, of sin because they don't believe on the Savior, of righteousness because the Savior is going to be with the Father, of judgment because Satan has been judged, and sin has been dealt with by the Lord in Jesus Christ for his people. I pray not, verse 15 of chapter 17, that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. You remember over here in John chapter 8, when the Lord was dealing with these that said that they believed. And he said here in John chapter 8, verse number 30, and as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. A continuance in the word shows that they are the Lord's disciples. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. But don't continue in the word. You're not a disciple of the Lord. You don't know the truth. You're not set free. It's the way that it is. Set them apart. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Back in John 17, verse 18, as thou hast sent me into the world, there's a pattern there. Jesus was sent into his own, and his own received him not. He was hated without a cause. He did all things well in righteousness. No error or sin in him at all. And he says here, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Those that the Father has given, those who the Lord saves, they're sent. We are sent into the world to be a witness of Christ into this lost and dying world. Verse 19, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Jesus says, for their sakes, I set myself apart. For what? As Savior. He sets himself apart as Savior for his people. For their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. What the Lord Jesus has done in the truth, the Father chose a people and gave them to the Son, and the Son has kept them, except for Judas, as he was appointed to be the betrayer. And he's kept them, and he set himself apart for his people. That's the reason he came, to save his people from their sins. And he said, for their sakes, I've sanctified myself. He set himself apart as Savior, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. The truth, that they are the Lord's, and that he would save them, and he would come and fulfill that which was necessary for sinners to be saved, for his people to be saved. And so that through the preaching of the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and faith in the Lord Jesus, and repentance of sins, and faith in that gospel in the Lord Jesus Christ, that his people, that sinners would be and have been and will be saved. Are you a sinner? You are. You need a Savior. Repent of your sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Let's see, our time has passed for now. May the Lord bless you with his word and his truth. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn onto State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you will find our church house on the right, just beside Whippoorwill Creek. We're interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954, by email at obchurch@gmail.com, or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next Sunday at this same time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.